Returning to our top story on the new trade agreement, 8 years of negotiations has culminated in the government signing what is the world's largest free trade agreement by population and GDP. New Zealand is one of 15 Asia-Pacific countries to join the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership trade deal, better known as RCEP. Now, some critics say the deal was unnecessary and offers little beyond the status quo, while others applaud the certainty it will provide for exporters. Former senior government trade deal negotiator Charles Finney is in our Wellington studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Corin.
Okay. The framework that this provides, the stability, the certainty that the minister was talking about this morning, that is good. Most commentators would agree there's a pretty good consensus that that's to be welcomed.
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, I'm one of the people that would like to have had India in the deal, but even without India there, this is going to provide a common set of rules, a dispute settlement mechanism that will be very positive for such a large part of the global economy. We've been worried about having so many small agreements with their own unique rules of origin. This helps simplify the noodle bowl, and it's going to add certainty for New Zealand exporters, so it's a good thing.
Yeah, and in a time of global economic uncertainty, as a small country that relies on rules, that's all good. But in terms of this being promoted as something that earns New Zealand $2 billion a year in actual financial gains, I mean, where do the tariffs come from in this? Because we've already got them with all those countries, haven't we?
Yeah, we already have free trade agreements with all the parties to the agreement. There does seem to be some advantage in the Indonesia market for goods exporters, and in terms of services exporters, some new concessions from Thailand. So that's all very, very positive. But anything that is going to encourage growth in this vital region for us will have economic benefits to New Zealand. So I think that's where the $2 billion figure is probably coming from, as opposed to tariff advantage. Don't forget, this is the first free trade agreement involving China, Korea and Japan. That's a very positive thing, and it will lead to some growth in the region.
Is this China setting the new trade rules for a new era?
There are a number of commentators, particularly out of the United States and Europe, who have seen this as a Chinese-led initiative. Actually, this is an ASEAN-led initiative. It used to be known as ASEAN Plus 6. China has obviously been a key player at the table. The rules of origin will make it more difficult for those in the United States and elsewhere who are trying to decouple from China. That's absolutely true. But this is an agreement that was not essentially China's idea. It is an ASEAN-led agreement.
Will that reduce the ability for the potential for these non-tariff trade barriers to crop up? And I'm looking at Australia at the moment, in fact, where we're seeing a number of products in Australia, wine, barley, there's others, that the Chinese government is telling their importers not to import. And this seems to be linked to geopolitical issues around Australia perhaps pushing back a bit harder on other issues. Is this deal going to, what's this deal going to do for that sort of thing?
Well, for a start, this deal has got to be ratified, hasn't come into force yet, it's only been signed. So every jurisdiction will be putting it through their own ratification processes. So it means nothing in the short term in terms of what you're talking about. But WTO rules, and don't forget, Australia has a free trade agreement with China, so there are already mechanisms there for Australia to address those problems. China seems to have an excuse for each of these measures that have been implemented. Some are still a little bit uncertain, something we should be watching very closely. Unfortunately, some of the major players right now aren't necessarily abiding by international trade rules. The United States is probably the most guilty party there, and unfortunately the WTO dispute settlement mechanism isn't functioning properly.
So how vulnerable is New Zealand? Because if we go into this RCEP deal, it's okay, debatable whether it's China-led, but certainly they are a key player. Our ability to criticise China without there being trade repercussions?
My view is that we are in an equal relationship with China. We want to be good friends with China. On most issues, we will agree, but there will be occasional disagreements. And in terms of a mature relationship, we should be free to express our mind. I don't see anything that New Zealand has said in recent times as risking any form of retaliation from China. But China should not be retaliating for political differences in the trade arena. That's not on.
Separately to that, or perhaps not, but let's say it's separate for now, there is this issue with COVID-19. The Chinese have said they've found imported beef with frozen beef with COVID-19 on it. They've tested New Zealand's products, been caught up with that in the warehouse. We don't look like we're directly at issue of having exported it, but nonetheless, that will be raising concerns for our exporters, I would have thought.
Yeah, obviously it's very strange. It's most likely any contamination did not occur in New Zealand. It's occurred elsewhere. I doubt this will impact on our trade, but it's something we should be watching very closely.
Charles Finney, thank you very much for your time.